thank you once again for allowing us to come together. Father, we know that it's your spirit that drives us. It is you, Father, that gives the desire.
Father, you are the one that is through your spirit that drives us to do the things that we are to do. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for this group of people tonight, those that are streaming. Father, we're asking you to bless them tonight. Excuse me. We ask your blessing, Father. We know you can meet our needs tonight, Father. We're depending on you, Father. Everything that we have need, we depend on you. And tonight, there's no different, Father. We need you. We need you right now. We ask him to come down and control, Father, everything from the pulpit to the back door. Father, control everything that is going to be said, those that are going to be hearing. You know what they have need of. Father, you can direct the whole thing. It is all you, Father. There's nothing on us. All I got to do is just get out of the way and let you have yours. Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you. You are our pastor. Father, we ask you to continue strengthening him and resting him. Father, continue, Father, giving him wisdom and what he needs to continue care for this group, Father, that you have put him in charge. Father, now we ask you to bless those that are here, Father, and those that are streaming tonight, Father. We ask you blessings on those that, for whatever reason, they could not come. If they are sick, afflicted, Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak your word in this side of time. Father, Satan has nothing on us. Amen. Father, in fact, you are the one in control, God. Yes. Satan has nothing to control. Only whatever you let him have to do. And it is for our own benefit anyway. So tonight, Father, have your way in our hearts. And we ask you all these things for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. Excuse me. I'm not a creature of cold weather, so. What's wrong? Down? Huh?
Can you turn your mic?
This one?
No, you're.
Turn it on?
I don't think it's on.
What about now? You think it's on now? Maybe I had it in mute. No?
Yes? Perhaps? Right here? Okay. I'm sorry. You can be seated. It's always glad to be home anyway. I call this home for right now. Actually, I call home wherever I am. That's where I am. That's home. So if I'm in Michigan, that's home. If I'm in Puerto Rico, that's home. So, but it's glad to be home. I got more than one home. But I cannot wait to go to my celestial home. That's the one that is my final destination, remember. Here we don't have any, you know, place or that we can claim. In fact, this is just temporary. But we are going towards our home. This is not my home. I don't want it the way it is. We don't want it. Later on, when everything gets clear and the earth will be cleansed, then we might come back for 1,000 years. But praise the Lord. So, thank you for your prayers, and thank you for the cards that I get, and thank you for the thanks, and thank you for everything that you guys do for me. I appreciate this congregation, because it doesn't matter where I go, I know somebody's always praying, and somebody always remember me and my wife, or my wife and I, you know, even if it is, well, where did those two went? Even if it's that, you know, oh, I miss those guys. Where are they? At least that's enough for me. Excuse me, because the cold weather don't do good to me. I don't like cold weather. I'm an island boy. And anything below 75 is too cold for me. So I've been fighting this not a cold, but the cold weather. Every time it changes, I change. So I don't want to take too much time, because I probably have a lot to say. I have not been on vacation, regardless of what you think. Yeah, because everybody thinks, you know, when the pastor goes out, it's on vacation. I know, I just preached in two or three places before I came over here. So and all the pastors send you greetings. So when I go out and you just don't see it around, go and do things too. The churches that I visit, the pastors that I know, you know, I always like to, you know, help whenever I can. So we've been kind of busy. So don't think that vacation, going out is always vacation. So tonight I want to do something a little bit, probably not too different, but some difference. I want to give you what I call a vision. And my vision is your vision, and it's one vision. There's not two or three visions. It has to be one vision. And the reason I want to talk about this topic is because throughout the year, you need to understand that throughout the year, I'm under this ministry. Just the way you are under this ministry, I'm not above the ministry. See, I'm under just the same thing. I'm a product of this ministry. That includes Andy, and that includes Brother Doug. I will never be above the ministry because God already chose the pastor. But I'm helping. So sometimes what you hear from me, you already heard it. And sometimes what I hear from Brother Doug or Andy, I take it to heart. Some of those things, some of the quotes. Let's see what the water is off. And some of the things that they said, I take notes. So I have been gathering some notes this year in the past few months of the things that Brother Doug and Brother Andy been preaching. So you hear something that you already heard. Maybe you need to hear it again. I don't know. So Proverbs 29:18. We want to start right there. It says, where there is no vision, the people what? Perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So you must be happy tonight. Because you are keeping the law. You're keeping the word. So, you don't have to be sorry. You don't have to be sorrow. You don't have to be, frustrated, because the Bible said if you are trying to keep the law, keep the word, happy are you. Now, you might not be happy that I'm preaching, but happy are you that hear the word. The word of God. Let me give you the definition of vision before I continue. Easy, bottom line, simple. The act or power of anticipating that which will or may come to be. So without a vision, you don't know what you want to be. Without perceiving, anticipating what you want to be, you just wonder. If you don't have a target, you will hit nothing. You can shoot all you want to. You might shoot the pastor too. But you won't hit anything. Right. Today you're here. Tomorrow you're there. Because there's no direction. Because there's no vision. So where do I go? Anywhere is good. So without a vision, people will perish because they don't have in their mind. They don't have a. They cannot perceive where are they going to be. The Bible, the definition says, which will or may come to be, or whatever you act to be. You know that lady, that black lady says, I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not what I act to be. But what is that? If you don't have no idea what this is, you will never reach it. You have to have direction. You have to have a vision so you have direction. And a vision will keep you from wandering. And that's what happened in this message. That people, a lot of people wander because Satan has just blinded them from the vision. They know the vision. We're going to discuss that later on. But without a vision, people will perish. In fact, another version said people go wild because anything is, you know. Anything is good. A vision will keep you straight. If you focus on the vision, there's nothing that's going to deter you. See, that's my vision. That's what I ought to be. That's what I want to be. And there's not enough hell, demons in hell that will deter. I mean, I might fall. I might get hurt. But I get up. That's my vision. There's nothing right now at this point that is going to, you know, what I said, discourage me from going on. It's too late. Satan came too late. It's too late for him to tell me that that's not the way. Even when I have a lot of people leaving the message, I thought they had a vision after 30 years and they don't even have a vision. They did have a vision. It might be called television. I don't know. But their vision must have been their own agendas. Because they live to do what? To follow what? Well, they got their own visions, I guess. But that vision is not my vision. I only know one vision. And that is the one that I follow. And I'm anticipating that if I walk, and I walk like Enoch, will walk, I want these days, I'm going to step into that vision. I'm not what I ought to be, but I want to continue moving, regardless of who, what, says what. But when I get there close enough, Brother Henry, one of these days I will take the last step, and I will step into my vision. We're living in dangerous days. We need to know where we are and where we're going and who we are. That will save us a lot of problems. In fact, you will save God a lot of problems and your pastor too. If you have an idea or at least have a sight into what you are doing here and where you're going. So, let me, Brother Branham says this. Let him define visions for us. Brother said, many people ask me, Brother Branham, you know, talking about vision, it is a material that you look at? Or it is just something that is impressed in your mind, you know, some kind of a dream, you know, imagination. And that's nothing wrong with dreams and imaginations. Or what is it? And he says, no. It's not something that is impressed in the mind. It is material. It is just as real as I am looking to you right now. That's how real the vision has to be. So real that you almost can just touch it. It's so tangible. I mean, it looks so tangible that you almost can touch the thing. So we're not talking about a dream, you know. Martin Luther King says, I have a dream. And that was good. We all should have dreams. But I have a vision. And that vision is not something that I dream of. And it's not something that I made up. That is a vision that it comes, and we're going to read in a minute, it comes by revelation. See, it's not something that I can muster or can make up. That's what I say. People leave the message. After being in, you know, years in the message. Even families. I met a lot of families in my way up. Not here, but in other churches. And that don't mean that your church is more special. I've just been in long enough in this walk. And some, I see families for years. And suddenly, I heard, well, they divorced. I said, what? And the children are out in the world. And I said, well, what happened? I mean, I thought we have the same vision, the same thing. We're looking towards the same old thing. I mean, the same thing. You know, and then somebody after 30 years leaving the message. What happened to those 30 years? What was the vision? You know? Because I think lack of a vision will, you know, you perish. That's what the Bible says. So Brother Van says, it's material. It's just as real as I'm here right now. Now, how that happens is all by the sovereign grace of God. Then he talks about his childhood. Let me tell you what the NIV says, the New International Version says. Where there is no revelation, I like that, people cast off restraints. It says, but blessed is the one that will heed wisdom and instructions. So there's no revelation. Because the vision is based on a revelation that comes from God. This is not nothing that you can dream me or tell me. It has to come straight from the throne of God. Brother Branham says in the exposition of the seven churches, he says, now, no man knows the things of God. So it has to come from God. It has to be revealed to you because nobody can. Say the Spirit of God and he to whom the Spirit of God revealed them. We need to call on God for revelation more than anything else in the world. You want to do something? Call on revelation. Because revelation is going to tell you what he wants, who he is, and who you are, and where you're going. Amen. He says, we have accepted the Bible. We have accepted the great truth of it. But it still is not real to the most people because the revelation by the Spirit is not there. You can come to church for 40 years. And you can say, I believe in the prophet, I believe in the message. Without revelation, this message will not become real to you. It has to be by revelation that you can. This becomes so real that it's almost you can see and you can touch it. See? But it has to be by revelation. He says, the most people, because their revelation of the Spirit is not there, the word has to be quickened. The Bible said, it is Corinthians 5:21, that we have become the righteousness of God by our union with Jesus Christ. Did you get it? It says that we are the very righteousness of God himself. By what? Being in Christ. Like brother was saying, he left his throne to be born in a manger. He was a king, his robes. He came and left all that just to be a servant. He left everything. From almost nothing, actually nothing. He took his royal robes and he gave it to me. And he took my filthy rags. That nothing. So I said that Jesus became sin for us. It does not say that he became sinful, but became sin for us that by our union with him, we might become the righteousness of God. Now, here's the kicker. If we accept that fact, and we must, that he literally became sin for us by the substitution for us, then we must also accept the fact that we, by our union with him, have become the very righteousness of God. Amen. You cannot have it both ways. If you say he paid for your sins, then you have the righteousness of God. Now, we know the Bible says that. It cannot be denied. But the revelation of it is missing. You get in a vision, start shaping. See, you are the image of God. In fact, you were in God. And God took a picture of you. See, and the same picture, he's looking at the same picture here. When we come to the fullness, that is the picture he saw, and that's the picture he's holding. Amen. And cannot change. Now, you and I change. Yeah, Brother Branham was shown the seven mountains that were in Montana, I think it was. You know, that was his life. The Lord said, look at, you know, that's you. That's you. You know, sometimes you on the mountain, glory to God, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And then sometimes you, whoa, and woe's me. And then you go back climbing up again, and now you want to be a trapper, you're tired, you see, nobody loves you. And then you go back up. And see, but one thing out of the whole situation is that God is the same yesterday. And he never changed. You change. You have your ups and downs, but God hasn't changed. So, when you are in the mountaintop, God is still God, the same God when you are in the bottom. And that's what you need to look at. That you still, what he said, you are. You are the righteousness of God. I don't care where you find yourself. But I made a mistake. Okay, we're going to make a mistake. Ask God for forgiveness, whatever, and get up and Because you are now a son of God. With full rights and the authority that comes with that title. And there's no one can strip you away from that. There's no one can separate you from the love of God. Not even Satan have enough power to take away what's yours. Why? Because he already said it. And once he said it, it's done. Settled. You might doubt it. He never doubted. He says, but the revelation is missing. It is not real to the majority of God's children. It's kind of sobering, huh? He's talking about God's children. Come sitting down in a church for years and never know who they are and what they are and what they're going to become. Because that's the kicker. You need to know what you are going to become. That's what he says. It is just good verse in the Bible. See? If there's no revelation, it is good preaching. Oh, I love the preacher. I love the Bible. I love what he quoted. But that's all it was. Because that, Brother Brown says, but we need to have it made what? Alive. Amen. If you don't become alive, because that's why we are preaching it. That's why we preach the word in due season, so the word can take a flesh and become alive and do what it's supposed to do. It's not an entertainment that will take a revelation. So I behoove you to find, revelation all the time. He says, anything in the world, that's what we want, revelation. Satan hate it, but we love it. Amen. Why? Because he tell me who I am, where I'm going, and what's going to happen to Satan too. Amen. Righteousness. Let me give you a broad sense of what righteousness is. A state of him who is as he ought to be. Are you now children of God, sons of God, or not? If you still have in your mind that I'm not there yet, well, physically, we're here, yes. We haven't arrived yet to the fullness. But Paul says, when you run a race, you run a race to win it. If you run a race and you say, well, I'm going to lose it, but why run it then? But Paul says, many will run and one will win, but run it as you are going to win it. So when you're in this race, your mind has to be made up. I am now the son and the daughter of God. Regardless where I am, if I'm here or I'm tomorrow there or next day there, but until I reach the fullness, I'm still a son of God with all my rights. But see, that has to be by revelation. It says, a state of him who is as he ought to be. A man, a woman with integrity, holiness, purity of life, righteousness, correctness, a son and a daughter of God, we are a copy of him. God is holy, and so his children. But like I said, you cannot do this by yourself. God has to call you. God has to do this for you. But we already know that he called us, and he accepted us in his son, Jesus Christ. I have been accepted. You think God is going to take his word back right now and say, well, yeah, I called you, but I made a mistake. God don't make mistakes. I have been accepted, and you have to understand by revelation, you already been accepted. You already made it. You just see it because you need to finish the journey that is going to shape you and mold you to his character. You are not what you are to be, but I know what I'm going to be. And I keep my eye on that vision. Brother Bannon says, and this is something that Brother Doug read a while back, the perfect image. He says, the masterpiece. He says, the perfect image, God-man. See, God had a vision. And if God had a vision, you don't think we're going to have a vision? God had a vision. He saw the perfect image of a God man. God and Morphe. And Morphe means in a form, in a shape of a man. Not quite the man, but in the form, a resemblance. You know, when God came to Adam and the angels, and they took a form of humans, but they wasn't like you and me, born and, you know, shape and, you know, grew up slowly to be what we are. No, that was just instantly. Whoop. So that was a form, an appearance of a human being. But they were not, but they were just in that form. Excuse me. So, the same thing when later on Abraham and Melchizedek, that was a form of what is supposed to be later on, Jesus Christ. But that wasn't, that was just a form, a copy, an impression of what is supposed to be. That's what, a morphe, in a form. See? He had changed from the supernatural to the vision. It was a vision. God is supernatural. At one time, we were in his mind. He had an image of us in his mind. But now, that image, it moves into a vision. And then the vision was projected. Projected means it's manifested, you know, like Jesus Christ. That projection producing the image. And the image was smitten that the supernatural could taste the feeling of the death. God's perfect masterpiece. Hebrew 11:1. I want to make a similarity, a comparison here. Because a faith is the evidence that what we hope for will actually... Evidence that actually, see, you cannot have faith unless you know that actually it's going to happen. You have to have either a vision or faith enough that you know, that you know, that you know, that wherever you need, whatever you, by faith, you are claiming, you can almost touch it. It's not a, you know, say it and claim it. This don't work like that. It has to be, Brother Rand says, it has to be a transaction. See? Because that's what he was talking with Abraham. Where Abraham believed, and it was, you know, that was enough. And Brother, and the guy that was talking to him, the pastor, says, what else he could do? Brother says, what is more than belief? I says, not only that, he says, no. And Brother Doug read this long time ago. He says, no, it has to be a what? A transaction. And the transaction is that God has to show you. God has to actually either somehow, some way, impress in you that the desire that you have for healing or for whatever, you can almost touch it. Because faith is looking to the unseen. Nobody can see it. You cannot even see it unless God, by revelation, open the unseen. And you can see, and you can almost touch it, and you can say it's mine. But there has to be a transaction. Claim it, believe it, that's unsettled. That's not work that way. God has to impress in you. You cannot see the unseen unless the supernatural by revelation opens a window so you can see the unseen. See? The same thing is with a vision. A vision is a comparison of faith. See, you have to be able to almost touch it. We're not talking about something that is a dream, it's imagination, it's a thought, it's a, ooh, I love that idea. No, it is something that you can see with the spiritual eye. Because with this eye, you cannot see it. But you know that you know that you know it's going to happen. See? And I don't care what somebody said to you. I don't care how many people said, prove it, show it. He said, well, you know what? I don't know, and I can't prove it, and I cannot show it to you. One thing I know, I can believe it. Because he says, nature, see, having a form of godliness too. Let me hit this one, because talking about having a form, a morphe, having a form. Now, 2 Titus 3:5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such, turn away. The form of godliness is not bad. You might thought that that's what that meant. That's not what that means. We all have a form of godliness. You have a form of godliness. That's good form of godliness, but not all the form of godliness, you know. In fact, let me put it this way. Every form of godliness is good. And you tell, how can you prove that? Well, the Bible says that will come the day that the two spirits are going to be so close, those two forms, that you cannot even tell them apart. Don't tell me those two forms, one is bad and one is good, and you can decide which one. But they're so close. The denomination have everything you have. They read the Bible, they pray, they have supernatural, they have miracles, they have everything you have. And more sometimes. That's not a bad form of godliness. Do you think so? Oh, you said that, you know. Jesus, one day, the disciple came and saw another disciple over there that wasn't part of their crew, you know, the crowd, the group. And he was out there preaching the gospel. And the two, you know, the son of thunder, Lord, look at that guy. He's over there preaching. I mean, who authorized him to preach? He's not part of our group. Let's go, you know, far from heaven or whatever, thunder, lightning, destroy him. And what did Jesus say? Well, you don't know what spirit you're of. Because it's not against us, they are with us. The form of godliness is not the problem. See? Those people are there, do the same thing you do. They pray, call on God, they get healed. They believe the word, they get healed. You know what the difference is? Denying what? Denying the spirit. See, but denying the power. What is the power? The spirit of God. They don't have the power to make that word change them to that word. They can go ahead and use it like you do. Because the Bible said God has no respect to person. If they believe the way you believe, and they honest and sincere, God will heal them. God has no respect. However, they don't have the power to become the word. But you got power not only to call upon God, but you got the power to become that he asked you already, that you see in the Bible, that you could be a son and a daughter of God. We got the power. Those that accept them, receive them, and accept that he gave power to what? To become. That's what they don't have. They have the word. They have the Bible. They have the letter. But that kills us without the spirit. That means that they cannot become that. They love the word. They worship. Some of those people are better than me, sweeter than me. But they cannot become the word. So I wanted to bring that because sometimes we think that this verse says that the form of godliness they have is bad. It's not bad. Just as good as you are. So close to yours that it could deceive the very elect if it was possible. But the only difference is it is the power to become that word. They can shout. They can run. They can have supernatural. They have everything they have, but they cannot become the word. See, they cannot become the vision. So, let's go to another vision. That was Jesus. That was God's vision, becoming a man. See, and he projected what he has in his mind to the vision, to the image. Same thing with you. From the attribute of his mind to the vision, and then projected to you and me, to the image that he had in his mind before the foundation of the world. Now, Jesus, Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, he's the creator of everything. By him, through him, all things consist. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endure the cross, despising the shame, And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. By the joy that was put in front of him, he endured. Yes. I like that song where he said, when he was in the cross, I was in his mind. And it was for me, for the joy to have that little bride, for the joy of having her. That was his vision. And that vision kept them straight. Even though when he says, Father, you know, if it's possible, you know, I know you want me to go that way. And that's the vision. I see it, and I want it too. But what about all this? Well, you know what the end was. Let your will be done, and not mine. And sometimes that's what happened to us. If we have a vision, it doesn't matter what we have to endure. It doesn't matter what we have to suffer. It doesn't matter what we have to risk or lose, even if we lose the whole family, even if we lose everything, like Jesus has to do. The point is that that vision kept him fixed, you know. Fixed. That was his sight, was fixed on that. Focus on that. And it doesn't matter what went right. It doesn't matter what went left. My eyes is focused on the prize. And some Christians, that's what happened. They don't know the vision, and they don't even know if there is a vision. And if there is a vision, for some reason, Satan have obscured the vision. And then the problems start. Because now we go left and we go right. We cannot stay focused on our vision. Ephesians 5:27. The reason he endured the cross, the reason he went through all that he went, and he focused on his vision, was that he might present to himself a glorious church. Not having a spot, wrinkle, and any such thing. I like that. Any such thing. But that it should be holy and without blemish. Don't tell me after God, Jesus went through all that suffering and was loyal to his calling to have a church, to have a bride. A virtuous bride, sinless, the righteousness of God himself. How can you say something different? Or anybody can say anything different? That's who I am. That's who you are. You are the bride of Jesus Christ. No wrinkles, no such thing, having no spot. See, without what? Blemish. But brother, you make a lot of mistakes. Well, you're looking at the wrong guy. That guy's not going to make it. You're looking at the wrong guy. The one that I'm looking at, the one that is in my vision, that I'm seeing, it has no blemish. It has no spot. It has no sin. See, it depends what you're looking at and what I am looking at. If you're looking at this guy, you're going to be frustrated. Because Satan will make sure you get frustrated. But you tell Satan, you know, God is in control. My brother was saying, Satan, you're a loser. And anyway, this that I'm going through is victory to me. Is that you're going to be lose, and miss victory. So when you look at that, you're moving forward, regardless what happened, left and right. Because whatever comes, it's victory to you. You're going towards the victory. And there's nothing going to pull you out of that. I don't care what Satan throws at you. Because you focus on the side. So, I already quoted this one. So far, what do we have? A vision is an acting power. It's a power or an acting power of anticipating that which will come to be. Ask me what I'm supposed to be and what will come to be, and I'll tell you. maybe I'm not there yet, but I'll tell you what I'm supposed to be and why I'm going to act to be and what will come to be. A full son of God. Now, Jesus could have a wife. He could have children. He could have a job. He could have a career. But he left all that for that joy, just to sanctify himself for the joy that was in front of him. He sacrificed himself for that little bride. That was all he wanted. See? How can we come to church and we have no joy? You're looking at the wrong vision. Oh yeah, he had to suffer. He was beaten, he was kicked, he was spit on, they did all kinds of things to him. But he wasn't looking at that. He was looking at the joy. If Jesus, when he looked at you and me, he was joyful even in that suffering, how can you and me come to church in the suffering and don't find joy that God is working? That anything that is happening to us, afflictions, we don't like it. Of course we don't like it. But that is to shape us and mold us to that character. See? Don't lose your vision. Don't lose your sight for that. Because all that is working for you. Everything that comes to you has a reason. We don't like it. It hurts. Don't tell me that it didn't hurt him. But he kept his eyes single. Single. I know that this is going to be for my own good. So when we come to church, or when we're going through things, people see us and they say, well, I don't understand you. All that stuff you're going through, I would be crazy by now, be frustrated. I would probably leave the church and believe in a God that treats you that way. Look at that. Where was God when you needed it? See, that's the world. But we don't look at it that way. See? They look at us and say, I don't understand. How can you have joy and you're praising the Lord and you're going to church when you're in all that mess you are? See, they're not looking at the same vision I'm looking at. See? Because I'm looking at what God is expressing. God is going to one of these days materialize. It's going to appear. Let me, before I get too ahead of me, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. My brother man says, he is the true witness. Brother Andy read this one before, a few months ago. Now, this word, true, is the same word we saw back in Revelation 3:7. He said, you recall that, it does not mean true. It is a contrast between false. It is a richer and deeper meaning by far. It expressed the perfect realization in contrast to a partial realization. See? Yeah. Right now, I'm in a partial realization. But I'm moving to a fullness realization. But that don't mean that I'm going to act different because I'm in a partial realization when I know where my fullness realization will be. Express the perfect realization in contrast to the partial. Partial realization will make perfect realization. See, from the partial, as we continue walking, we sooner or later, like Enoch, we're going to walk into a perfect realization. But you have to stay in the partial. And you have to be loyal. And you have to be, you know, faithful to do the little things so you can get the big ones. So partial realization will be made perfect realization. So that means you have the same vision that I have to be a son, a full son and daughter of God manifested. You know, sons and daughter of God. Then our goal is the same. Our vision is the same. I don't care where you are, partially here, partially there. But our vision says, sooner or later, we're going to walk in the perfect realization. See? We have been looking through a glass darkly. But soon, it will be face to face. We have been going from glory to glory. You come to church so your character can be shaped, molded, See? So we can tell you what the sight. We keep the vision in front of you. A minister should keep the vision in front of the people all the time. And that's why we come to church. See? And then we go from glory to glory, partial, partial, partial. And one of these days, a perfect realization. We have looking through a glass darkly, but soon as we will be face to face. So, one of these days, when you walk into that vision, you're going to see as you were seen. The way God imagined you in the mind, the image, that's what you're going to see. It won't be no surprise because I'm already walking towards that. The rapture is not going to be a surprise to me. So some people will be. And if it is, I don't know if they're going to be there. The rapture should not be a surprise to you. Brother Doug was saying you should not even be afraid of a rapture. I don't know if it was him, but somebody was saying you don't need to be afraid of a rapture. In fact, a rapture would not surprise us. Because I know what it is already, where I'm going. We have been looking through a glass, says, face to face. We have been going from glory to glory, but soon it will be right into the glory. Amen. See, you keep your sight on that. And doesn't matter, you continue every day. It's every day work. It's every day. Get up next morning. Man, I don't understand you guys. Why do you go to church so much? That's what my dad tell me, my family. They want to do everything on Sunday. I said, if you do it on Sunday, don't come with me. Why do you have to go to church so much? You already went on Wednesday. Don't you? I said, listen, you will not understand. I need to keep moving, moving, and moving. See? We have been from glory to... Say, he said, soon we'll be right on in the glory. You know, one of these days, we take the last step and poof. Amen. See, that's what I'm looking for. That's my vision. We have been going from glory to glory to glory. His glory will shine. Now, let me say something here. We shall be like him. I know that when I get my fullness, my perfect realization. But before I get there, what happened in this side? See, if you're living only for the future, you miss the present completely. Because your eyes is set in the future. If you live in the past, you're going to miss the... whatever. We live in the present tense. God is a present tense. And every day, you know, we are moving. We are moving towards the future. That is my future, but I don't live in that future. But I know my future. I'm living the present, you know. And this is my partial realization. But as I walk to the vision, then perfect realization, complete realization. But, however, his glory should shine. Listen, if you're waiting for God to shine on you when you get there, what good that do? It's all I'm trying to get. The closest you get to the vision, he says, you shine. And you shine. And the glory of God will shine in your life. As you move closer, as you grow, as you mature closer to the vision, something has to happen to you. Listen, my friend, what do I need healing when I get there? I got a body that will never get sick. There will be no funerals. There will be no sickness. There won't be no sorrow. There won't be no this. There won't be no that. Why do I need to believe in healing? But right now, I need it right here. So as I walk towards the vision, something has to be happening to this body too. It has to be changing. The shine, the glory of God should be shining. Because if that, you got the wrong vision. If you're going towards that image, who you are, then you should be turning on who you are. Who you are, the manifestations of the sons and the daughters of God. Listen, when I get there, I know all that is going to happen. I will have eternal life. I won't die any longer. You know, it won't be no more funerals. It won't be no more diseases. I know that is what I'm going to. That's my fullness of my inheritance. But as I walk there, what should people be seeing in you? The glory of God. The closest you get to his character, it should be shining. More, more, and more. Not after 30 years. Well, I don't know if that's on God. That's not God shining. Let me finish this. We have been from glory to glory, but soon we'll be right into the glory. His glory will shine. So don't think that, you know, by sitting here and waiting for that day to shine, that's all we got to do. If we cannot take his nature right here, right now, and have the power that he had, that Jesus had, and do the thing he did, then we're not shining. But if you are in the right place, you are son and daughter of God, full of the Holy Ghost, following the right vision, as you move forward towards that vision, things start happening. You become the master of your choices. You become with more power. Satan will come down. We're casting him down, and you're going up. So you should have more of what you have when you have only a partial realization. The closer you get to the fullness, you should have more. So that's what I'm saying. Things has to be happening to the church that is getting closer, that is claiming to getting closer to the goal. The only problem is, and Brother Branham and Brother Doug said it, it will not be a show. There are things that are happening in this congregation, but it will not be a show. That's between you and God. That's why he says we need to testify what God is doing, because that proves to me that his presence is here. That's the only way I'm going to find out that, you know, that I'm in the right, when his presence is here. And it's shining through me and through you. I'll give you a little bit more of that later. It says, wondrously like him, Jesus, our Savior, divine. Is it not that wonderful? We are complete in him. That is true. He would not lie to us about that. But one day, we will be changed. The atoms will be immortal. Immortality. We will be all swallowed up with life. Then we will realize realization. I got a good idea what I'm supposed to be and what I ought to be. Maybe it's partial right now, but one of these days, that realize is going to be what? Realization to me. You will never become something that you cannot perceive. It is important. You can have the Holy Ghost. It's good. You can have the word preach. Good word is good. All that is good. But if you don't have a vision, you're limited. You're limited. Because all this is supposed to take you towards the vision. I like this other one. Let me change gears. Right quick here. The New Living Translation says like this. Proverbs 29:18. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. People don't want to be under authority. And they say they believe the message and they believe the vision. You know. They are the voice of God. They had a voice going one day. He says, catch the vision. Well, they did catch the vision. It wasn't my vision. You know what the vision already produced? See? Mechanical things, right? Now we had to listen at tapes. No more. That's the vision they started. I was about 20 years ago when they started with that, 15 years ago. Catch the vision. They had a bus that goes all over the place so people can see the demons. But that vision produced. It had to produce. Every vision will produce. Sooner or later, fruits will be produced. Whatever you believe, it will be produced. I didn't know that was going that way. But I see what that vision produced. Yeah. Bring back, you know, Brother Branham to the pulpit. Yeah. Well, it's no different. The return of the prophet. That vision went the other way. Yeah. And another, the seven thunders. What another vision. And this church, another vision, let's go about 8-9 tangents of this message. Everybody has a vision. You make sure you are following the right vision. If you are a Christian full of the Holy Ghost, you are son and daughter of God, you should know what the real vision is. And I don't care who comes around. I don't care how look they look. You will never be deceived. You are here, Sister Rakesh, because you cannot be deceived. That's another vision. And that vision, it don't line up with the Bible. It don't line up with the message. And that's all I'm going to say out of that. But some people do not accept divine guidance. They reject authority. And I don't care how much you tell them, but they will run wild. So you see them here today. And then tomorrow they are following another vision. It's called the blood moons or something. My goodness, I thought you and I was looking at the same thing when you were here. We were worshiping them. Glory to God. And suddenly your vision has changed. Blood moons. Mine is still the same. I will not change it. In fact, I go all the way to the end, to the finish. And in that day, he says, depart from me, I still move to that vision. No, because God is fair. What the man said. I want to say this right quick, but staying home and listening to that tape, that's good. Streaming, that's good. But you don't find that vision in the Bible, and you don't find that vision in the message. This is God's program, and this is God's vision. And that's all I'm going to say, because I don't want to make you upset. But there are people that make this message and the word of God, and they twist it, and they want to, you know, justify their visions. But Brother Barnum says you take all that and you put it through the filter of the Bible, and if it don't come out, stay away from it. Same thing from this pulpit, the same thing what we preach. If you cannot, if you have a question, a doubt, you take it and you cannot filter to the word of God, then come and talk to me. Maybe you misunderstood what I said, but we get it straight out. Because I believe what you believe anyway. Brother Brand says, ensign. Now, that's the same way it is today. Those who are depending upon some man-made mechanical something. What are they going to do with this quote? They can put their hands on it. See? This is it. This is it. Something that man has achieved. Their own visions. See? I told you, cast a vision. Well, I'm glad I didn't cast that one. But I know how far it went. He says, something that man has achieved himself. Then you find out, mostly, that those kind who are trying to escape the blood atonement back to the right way. That's kind of hard. Escape the blood atonement. So what all he's saying is basically they are not under the blood. That's hard. But I'm glad that I didn't say it. So that's where those tangents and those visions. You know, I've seen people come. This assembly, I've been here almost 20 years. Been that long. Man. I told my wife the other day, somebody reminded me, you've been there with Brother Doctor. What? Another retirement. I'm getting close to retirement, another 20 years. I worked 20 years in the Army. I worked 20 years with my wife. I worked 20 years as an engineer. Now 20 years, I'm ready for retirement for the fourth time. Man, you haven't seen a guy that retired so much. You know what retirement means? I'm retired. I'm tired once, twice, second, four. I'm tired four times now. I need rest. Retired too many times. A person, and I'm coming to a close, a person with no vision is blind. Jesus said, let the blind lead the blind. And the both are going to fall into the dish. Listen, don't follow the group. Don't follow the pack. Don't follow the clique. I was telling Brother Doctor that I was talking, I says, one thing that I never understood, why God made me the way he made me. But I ran for many years until almost 50, upper 55. I ran 10Ks, half marathons. I mean, I was always running. I don't know, running for my life, I guess. I was all running. I was like a tumbleweed, that song that says, rolling. I was rolling. I think I like to escape, I guess. That's my way to escape. But anyway, I will, when the time comes for the race, I will not run with the pack. Never did. And that worries me because everybody run with the pack. You know, and they talk and they run. No, I either was in front of the pack. If it was too slow, I pass them and I get in front. Or if they were too fast, I stay behind it. But I will never run with the pack. I will run along. And I said, well, Doc, I don't understand why I was like that, but now I'm kind of beginning to understand. You know, we come to church as a group. We are part of a body. But one thing is sure, you know, we are running alone. I'm not running with a group, with a pack, with a church that believe this. I don't run with cliques. I run alone. And you have to run alone to the finish. This is not following this group or following that group or that pack or this clique. This is between you and God. You cannot blame me when you get there. You cannot blame Lord Divine. You are running to the finish by yourself. You and him. However, when we come into a group, we all rejoice. Because I used to practice with the group, you know, the coach, and we have a group, we have a team. But when the time come time to run, I was alone. You know why? Because I was running, competing against me. I wasn't competing against nobody else. And you don't compare yourself with nobody else. You're running by yourself with God. Whatever place you find yourself, whatever your partial realization is, that's where you are. Maybe I'm here and somebody's there, but wherever you are in the race, it is you and God. There cannot be nothing in between. See, well, so-and-so told me. Well, so-and-so gonna deny it anyway. So, a blind leading the blind. When a blind, you see a blind person unassisted, maybe with a little cane at the end of the street. See, when a person is blind and is trying to feel, that's the problem. He's trying to feel his way. Many people come to church and they're trying to feel where they're going. If this is the church I need to be, well, God didn't bring you. You need to go start on your knees. Go out there and find out. God will bring you to a church where they have a ministry that will fit you and you will grow. If you haven't done that yet, you choose a church like you choose your bride, your wife. Go and do that first. But when you get up to the realization that this is where God wants you and this is where he wants you to serve, you know, the search is gone. You don't have to run anymore. Now, sit, grow, help, serve, and move forward. I'm sure there are going to be a lot of things happening that you don't like, but it doesn't matter. Once you know that you know. That this is where God wants you. Doesn't matter what happens. See, but a person that is blind is unprepared because you cannot see what's coming to you. Wow, I didn't see that coming. You know, Satan sidetracks you all the time. You cannot prepare. If you're blind, I don't know, you can make your suitcase and get ready to do a trip and drive yourself. You cannot prepare. Somebody has to help you. See? You cannot anticipate anything. See? There will be obstacles in your way, and you won't see them, and you trip. And that's what happened to many members in churches. They're tripping over this and over that. And they don't know. There are too many obstacles, and everything is this, and everything is that, and I'm a victim of this, and I'm a victim of that. No? It's because they're blind. They haven't found the source. The revelation, they don't know. So if you don't have a revelation, it's just a Bible. You know, those people are there in the denomination, they can quote you the Bible. Brother Brown said, don't even argue with it. They know the Bible. But that's all they know, the Word. It's just Word. And if God can do that much with them, with that Word, how much he can do with us with the power of the Holy Ghost that we have? So a lack of vision is just like having a lack of purpose. Do you know why you come to church? You have to have a purpose. You don't come to church just because today was Wednesday, it was time to come to church. You have to have a vision. You have to have a purpose. Because if you don't have a purpose, you never achieve anything. Yeah, you come to church. Well, you never miss church for a year. Well, that's good. Yoo-hoo. Well, we gave you the award, you know, not missing church for a year award. So you got to go home. But that's all. Nothing has changing. See? Without a vision, no purpose. And then you're not prepared for what is going to come. Why? Because you're not walking a focused walk. You know, keeping your eye fixed on that goal. See? Because when you know the goal, you know the steps that we need to take to the goal. See? There's nothing surprising, Brother Calvo. You know? I know what I'm expecting when I come over here. I come under the expectation that whatever happens here is to shape me and to form me to conform to that vision. I have enough confidence in this ministry that when I come over here, I can open my heart and I know I will shape and form to that character. How I know that? Because I'm still following that character. I have not gone to the blood moons. I have not gone to this. I'm still fixed on that. Because that's where the shaping and molding is, from glory to glory until I step in that glory. His glory. So, people are drifting along, blind, drifting from church to church, looking for purpose, looking for reason, looking for directions. It's too late to be that way in this journey. So, Paul says, not as I thought, Philippians 3:12, not that I thought I had already attained it. I'm still in my partial realization. I haven't attained the fullness, but he said either we're already perfect. I now have attained my fullness realization, but I follow after that. That's where my eye is in that fullness. If that I may apprehend it, that for which also apprehended me of Christ Jesus. See, he said, I have not obtained it. See, I have not arrived yet to that goal, but I continue. You know, I continue taking hold to that. I continue moving towards that, which is Christ Jesus that holds me. See, I'm apprehended, he says. I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. So, listen, you are not holding on. He is holding you towards the goal. But Paul says, I am apprehended through him. It's not me holding on, but it's him taking hold of me and moving me towards the goal. He says, Philippians 3:13, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. See? But that got hold of me. I have not taken hold of what I want to be, perfect realization, but that already has taken hold of me, he says. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, a strain towards what is ahead. And I press on to the goal to win the prize. I'm not here to lose. Because God does not lose. God does not make junk. God is not going to come out there and say, well, I made a mistake. He promised me. We are winners. We are not losers. Satan is a loser. He says, towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. See, call me. This wasn't me that I wanted to run. This wasn't me that I wanted to be called. It's because he called me. I had nothing to do with this. But that got hold to me, I want to hold on until I get to the end of that. I want to finish. I know it's almost 9. I've got 40 minutes, but let me give you 3 things so you can remember. Next year is going to be different. Don't think that next year is going to be better than this year. That's what they said last year. Listen, times are awful. It is time to focus. It is time to keep your sight clean and clear. It's not time to get tangled up and bogged down with anything. Next year, I don't know what's going to happen next year. I know what's going to happen next year concerning this We are going to continue moving forward. I don't care what's going on the left and what's going to the right. But my goal is to continue moving to the vision. I don't care what comes next year. And you should not worry about Enron or Deltas. I'm not saying that they're not real. They are out there, whatever they are. And next year will be another one. But what I'm saying is, neither left or right, I will fall. I'll just continue towards the vision. I don't care nothing else. We came to the point that we need to get fixed into that vision and forget about everything else and move forward. I don't think we had that much time. Everything else is noise. Don't listen to the noise. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, seeing we also are so compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, we are not the first one. We have years behind us, people. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which that so easily beset us. He said, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Listen, my friend, the sin, the weight. Let me say something here because Brother Doug mentioned it yesterday. Sunday. The Bible said, do not let the sun set on your... On your what? What? Okay. See, don't go to sleep angry. Jesus got angry, but he didn't sin. You can get angry, but I'm going to tell you something here. The weight of sin that beset us. Listen, my friend. Confess your faults to one another. I don't want to go to bed tonight angry at you or you angry at me when the Bible tells me not to. If you don't fix things the same day, you know what happened? You're not following your vision because that will beset you out of your journey. How? Well, if you don't make things right the same day, I'm not talking about a week, how long? Don't let the sun. That's what the Bible said that day. Wife and husband, you poke each other all day long, make sure you make things right before you go to sleep. Sorry, honey, I didn't mean that. Well, sorry I pushed your button. Oh, okay. But what about with each other? Confess, I didn't say confess your sin. Confess your faults. Because that can beset you. You cannot progress to your goal. You cannot progress to the vision unless you get this thing right. Because it's a weight. It weighs on you. It weighs in your heart. It gets heavy. So the first day somebody does something to you and you decide not to do anything about it. So you know what happened that night? You start thinking. See, you start going to memory lane. And they did this to me and she did this one. And she said this. And the more you think about it, the more angry you get. And then you don't do nothing about it. Next day you come around and you know what? You get deeper into it. Now you get all the people involved. You start calling people. Because misery lies company. You're not running a race. You just stop and you're not looking at where you're going. Because as long as you don't take care of this, you're going nowhere. And the church will not even move neither. So, the next day, you know, you complain. You call everybody. This is what they done to me. I cannot believe what they said. I don't know about that, about this. And suddenly the next day, it gets so bad that you finally, I'm a victim. I'm a victim. It wasn't my fault. Then you start blaming everybody for it. All you have to do is something happens that day, go and fix it. Because it gets worse. Right. You think time is going to make it better? Your pastor said time don't make anything better. It makes things worse. You run in a race. You don't want nothing. You don't want to add weight. I run a lot. I know what weight is. Like I used to put 10 pounds of weight sometime in my, so I can practice, get stronger. You carry weight. and fat, and you have to lose fat too because that's weight. But I'm saying this. A church has to be clean of weight. You need to be clean of the weight because that will beset you in this race. And you will not get there no sooner. And what we're doing, we're stopping everything. Everything stopped. If you're part of this bride and you're supposed to be there, if you are not moving forward like everybody's moving forward, the rapture, no one says the rapture is overdue. Why? Because it should have already happened. But it's not God's fault. It's our fault. Listen, make things right that day and get back in the race. Because if you are not going to do, how long do you think it's going to take for you to do that? I mean, if you're going to be angry at me, how long? Can you give me a kind of a... So I know at least. Are you going to be, 30 days? 10 days? Tell me how long you're going to be angry. It don't make any sense, right? Why don't you make things right before you go to bed? Before night falls. And get back in the race. Brother Brown says, I want to get to the point that when I do something right away, not 30 days, not 10 days. I know. I knew someone that used to give me the third degree every time. You know what the third degree is, right? The silent treatment. When we were arguing, they shot on me. And I don't like, I like to discuss things. You know, I like to just get things out. I'm not a kind of person that holds anything in it, I have to tell you. And so I was wondering how long we going to be without talking. Well, I have to wait until whatever the person decides to talk. But can you imagine doing that, coming to church, you know you got something against somebody against you, and you're just holding on? That holds everybody. That is the weight of sin. Quickly, and I'm going to close. I told you that before, but give me 10 minutes here. Three things. What we must do. What are we going to do? See? This is what we need to do. First of all, as a runner that I am, this is the thing that we need to do. Discipline. You know what some people don't come to church? It's called discipline. I run races. You know that I had to discipline myself? You know what discipline means? That you train yourself according to the vision that you have. I know what the race that I do. I know what I wanted to win. I know how far I needed to go. So I train accordingly. My training has to do with my goal. So some people do not discipline themselves. This, when I came to this church, I didn't join this church for the short run. I don't know how long it will be, and I don't know how much we got left, but it doesn't matter. Because I'm disciplined. I'm disciplining myself for the long haul. When I came here, I told Brother Doug one time when I came over here, I said, listen, there's two ways that I can be out of this church. Dead, and you can bury me if you want to, you know. But I said, I'm dead. That's the only way. Because I already came over here, and I already told you that I want you to be my pastor, and that is going to be that way. Because God already told me. So I'm here to the end. I'm not here. I don't matter. It doesn't matter what happens, left and right. My mind is better that I will train. I will discipline myself for accordance to the vision in this church. Amen. And I need to run to another church to change me. And I need to run to some other place. I don't need to get another doctrine. Right. I already know that this pastor, if you stick with him, he will take you all the way through. God cannot lie to me. Discipline. Discipline takes a vision. Without a vision, you cannot discipline yourself. Because you don't know what kind of a training that you need. See? Paul says, let's see what. So we have to discipline ourselves. You know, when I used to run, and people that run in the Olympics and all that, you know, to win a gold medal, They restrain themselves for a lot of stuff. When you're in training, when you're in discipline, you got to train yourself. You have to sometimes go to sleep early. You need to rest. You need to eat right. You cannot indulge in everything you want to. You see? And then you have to devote time for exercise. You know, you have to devote for practice. It is not easy. It is hard. It is painful. But the only thing that makes a difference is the goal. See, he went to the cross, endured everything for the joy. I got a joy. I got that joy that I want to be that, what he wanted me to be. And I'm going to discipline myself, you know, accordingly. And a vision always produces discipline. People that are not disciplined is because they don't have a vision. Okay? And if they have a vision, it's not the vision that I envision. See? Second, desire. Discipline produces desire. You know what some people, don't have much desire to do certain things? Because they are not disciplined. And I said this again. I come to church 3-4 times a week. That's discipline. It takes discipline. This isn't something that I just made up. I'm going to go to church because when it's open. No. It takes work and it takes discipline. Sometimes you have to let something go that you think that's more important, like family. How many times I had... Listen, since I came into this message, I lost my whole family in here, my wife family. Why? Because Sundays, Wednesdays, this is what I want to be. They didn't agree with that because they only go whatever, one time out of the day, you know, out of the week. But discipline, then discipline brings desire. Because the more you train, the more you discipline, you start losing weight, right? When you start. Then you start seeing the benefits. You look better and you run faster. And you start, you know, you feel better in the morning you wake up. You know, now you're feeling like a winner now, you know. And so you want to get out there and do more practice. Why? Because the benefits. And the more you come to church and the more you hear the word and the more you sacrifice yourself, the more you discipline yourself, the more you start getting a desire. All that will start creating a desire. Because a desire, what is a desire? A craving, a longing, something that brings to you satisfaction. See, discipline brings that. See, after a while, you see the results. Wow, I'm getting faster. Wow, I'm looking like, I might win this time. I'm looking at the vision. I'm looking what it takes. I'm going. Wow, I'm looking better than ever. So it creates a desire to continue and do more and more. A longing. Discipline creates a longing to come to church. Creates a craving. And you said, but how that? I don't know how it works. Because the more we discipline ourselves, the unction come from God and it creates the desire. Why will God will give you the desire to come to church if you stay home? I mean, if you decide to stay home, how will you get the desire to come to church if you don't desire? Of course, I'm not being insensitive. People get sick. I'm not talking about that. The thing is that discipline, see, the Bible says, Jesus said, if you believe me, you know, if you believe me, now he didn't say, let me show you so you can believe me. If God sees your discipline and God sees that you want to, that you are craving, that you're longing to be in his presence, don't you think he's going to reward you? But if it's not, you think he's going to reward you out there? There has to be a discipline. And the discipline creates a desire because God starts creating a desire for you to be here. A desire for him. A craving and a longing for him. Listen, my friend. I want to be where he's at. And the craving and the longing to be here with you guys, it's not for you guys, even though we are body, but it's because his presence is here. Devotion. And I'm finishing. Discipline creates desire, and desire creates lead to devotion. You know what a devotion is? Dedication, consecration, commitment. See? The more you want that gold medal, the more you train, the more you long for, the more you crave for, and the more you commit to it. See? The more you dedicate yourself, whatever time it is, whatever time to train, whatever time to run, whatever time to do exercise, whatever it takes, I'll be there. Why? Because that is my goal, and I want it that bad. Let me read you, I still got time, I'm going to let you go in 4 minutes, but let me read you this. Let me go to the last quote. I'm going to read the last quote. I'm going to skip one quote. Yeah, go. Go. That, right there. Hearing, coming up the road a while ago in my car from Jeffersonville, hearing something sing, God is moving by His Spirit, moving in all the earth. Signs and wonders when God moveth. Now move, O Lord, in me. That's my sincere prayer. That's what Burbank is saying. That's my prayer too. God, I want you to move in me. See, people want the moving church. I don't want the moving of the church. If God is not moving in me, I don't care how much the church will move. But the only reason the church moves is because it's moving in you and in you and in you and in you. You want God to move in you. He says, as I have been to realize that I am not no boy no more. See, when I was a child, I used to do things like a child. And what I had got to do, I got to do it right away for one thing. So whatever we need to do it right away, he says. And then another thing, knowing that the coming of the Lord is so close at hand, what type of people should we be? How would we should conduct ourselves? He says, and how we should be waiting with great enthusiasm and anticipation. That's your word again. You're anticipating something that you ought to be, you want to be, see? But with enthusiasm, not, oh man, it's church day again. Oh man, we have to go to church again. Well, thank you for the enthusiasm. Waiting for the coming of the Lord, winning every soul to Christ that we can. For the hour is getting darker and darker. It is the storm clouds of unbelief, skepticism move over our beloved nation. So, and that's what's happening now. So it is time to trust in the sickle, to trust the sickle now and get what we can. He says, I have often wondered, well, Lord, you will have to have a great this or that before you come. Well, when I read the scripture here a few weeks ago, that changed my opinion on that. You know, the Lord is coming for a great church. That's right. But we had 2,000 years making up that church. They are already waiting yet yonder for the resurrection who went down in faith. Your fathers and mothers who fought to win the prize. Like Paul said, they fought to win the... Listen, this is not a picnic. You got to fight. This is a war. You're going to have to fight even to come to church. You're going to have to fight. Amen. He says, your fathers and mothers, a prize sailed through bloody seas. What type of a people should ought to be? There is not one thing left. Listen to what he says. There's not one thing left. If you're waiting for something, there's not one thing left. As I see it in the prophetic word, one thing left or one thing hindering the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ this very hour. Not one thing left in the Bible. Everything has been fulfilled, waiting now for the coming of the Lord Jesus. I mean, this is years. Where do you think we are right now? And how should we do this afternoon? We should speak and act today, and if this is the last hour we ever have. You don't know. I don't know. But make sure you make things right the same day, because you don't know how long you have and what happened if he comes. Let's pray. It says, let's act. It says, it may, and who knows but what it might be. It may be for some of us. It says, it may be for all of us, but let's act as if is this the last hour. Now, if this was the last hour, remember what happened to 9/11? Remember what happened to 2000s when all the computers... Remember what happened when we have all this catastrophe, you know? You know how the churches got full? So what happened after a while? See, Brother Brown says the different. He says we should be always... this was the last hour. You think if this was the last hour, I won't be in church? If this is the last hour, this is where I want God to find me. Oh, yeah, he can save you anywhere. But you know what I'm talking about. You're smart. He says, it will ever have. And who knows but what it might be. It might be for some of us. It might be for all of us. But let's act as if it is our last hour. Let's pray as never before. And let's be a blessing to others. And try to do all we can. For remember, this is the only one time that we are mortals. From this on, from the time that we leave this world, we go into another world, and we never have the opportunity to win one soul in that world. So, miss opportunities, right? All that's going to be won will be won right now. And if this may be our last hour, then what should we do in this hour? Fuss, fight, bitterly, disagreeing, what we should be doing? Stay focused. Stay focused. And it's allotted to my time to speak this afternoon, and tonight I am praying for the sick people. Amen. You can stand to your feet. Someone said you need to live your life like this was the last day. You cannot be counting on tomorrow. You don't even know what tomorrow will bring. So if you live your day like this was the last day, when you're trying to make everything right with everybody, because you're not planning for tomorrow. If you're going to get mad at somebody, you know what you're planning for the future? You don't even know we have a future. So we need to live in such a way that this is my last day. Make everything right, every way of sin, every problem, everything that we have, we need to take care of it. Because I don't know if I have another day to do that. Amen. So far, today is the last church day. I'm glad I'm in church. I might be church Sunday. I don't know. But today, I came because this will be the last church day. But how do you know, brother? Well, how do you know it's going to be tomorrow? How come that you're going to be here Sunday? So won't you take the opportunity to discipline yourself? You know? And have the desire, God give you the desire to do what we're supposed to do. Follow the vision. Step into the vision. Don't let Satan take you right or left. Keep your eye in that vision on who you are. You are the righteousness of God. Amen. If anybody's going to see God today, it is in you. It's in you. That's what Brother Brown says. That is the only place they're going to see God. So try to, not try, just do it. Do it. Do walk, talk, converse, at work, at school, wherever you go. Always. Everything you do, bring glory and honor to his name. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for your love. Father, we thank you because you call us. And it had nothing to do with this. But I'm so glad that you called me, Father. And I want to be faithful to that calling. I want to be faithful to that election. I want to be standing where you want me to stand, Father. I want to be doing what I ought to be doing, Father. Father, I want to project the thought that you had in your mind before the foundation. I am here now. I am your thought. I am your attribute. Now, Lord, help me. Help me to project that to others. Father, we thank you, Father, because I don't have to do it. I'm depending on you. I'm depending on the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, I have nothing to do with it. I have no merits, nothing. I need you. I need you, Father, more today than I needed you yesterday. Father, I need you to shape me, to mold me. I need you, and I pray for this church and for the pastor, Father, that you continue leading with the Holy Ghost, Father. You know what I have need. And I know, Father, that you promised me that you will shape me and mold me to your image. And that is what I want. Father, forgive us when we have faltered and made mistakes. Forgive us, Father, when we have just imagined things and get upset and mad. We don't want nothing, Father. We just don't want nothing, no obstacles in our way. Help us to make things right, Father, and get back into the race and get back, Father, into what we are here for, the purpose that we have been called to manifest your glory, Father, to shine. We are light into a lost world, Father. Help us, Father, to discipline ourselves. Jesus had to do it. He could have family, he could have everything, but he sanctified, he disciplined himself completely for that vision, for that bride. And we know, Father, that this is not a burden. Your yoke is easy. Father, we just need to surrender to you, to determine and to commit ourselves, to yield our members, Father, to you. Father, we want to be transformed every day by your word. We don't want to conform to the world. We don't want to conform to our ideas. We don't want to conform to our visions or agendas. We want to be transformed. We want to be changed, Father, as we keep our eyes on that goal, that is Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for this, the family of God. We thank you for the faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for this leader, Tabernacle. Father, those that are streaming, Father, those that are not here for sickness or afflictions, thank you, Father, for what you are doing in this church. Thank you, Father, for honoring us with your presence. We love you, Lord. We thank you. And Father, now as we ready to go, Father, to keep these words that you have put in my heart, that we have spoken, Father, to just think and meditate, Father, in thy need to we are the last. There's no more. We are the last of the race. There's nobody, no one else to pass this baton. We are the one that waiting for the manifestation. Those all saints for more than 2,000 years waiting for us to finish this race so they can come back. They're waiting on us, Father. Help us to discipline ourselves, to have a purpose, Father. Do everything that we can, Father, to bring glory and honor to your name in everything that we do. Father, mold, shape us to your image. Transform us, change us to your glory. It's my desire. We thank you once again for your presence tonight. We thank you for my brothers and my sisters. Father, bless each one in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I will ask you all these things. Amen and amen.